Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, to where the music never ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we found. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community, that's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, 10 p.m. till midnight, Monday through Sunday. Join us early on Monday, 7 p.m. for Keeping It Brief, then come back later that night and hang with our wild dove, Lulu, in Nature and Front Page Picks. Dig into the Twisted Thoughts and Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft or Selling Art and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dan. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturday is split with Gray Eyes and Dan Howling at the Moon in the Northern Climes and Exploring Ekphrasia with Captain B2 and Gray. And if you're looking for a little more edgier realm, then please check out After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Saturday mornings. And Take a Walk on the Wild Side Tuesdays. Fridays are split between Echoes in the Dark at Break On Through with Pam, and join Aphasia and Babla on Saturday as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows, call in to read your poems, hang for the fun, and if you can do SoundClouds or a vocal unit, please attach that to your poem. We'd love to hear you read your words. Good evening, Pam, and happy Easter, everybody. Yes, I know. This was a funky unit to actually play on Easter, and I worked every holiday for 40 years, so I didn't think of holidays. They were just another day, and I didn't know it was Easter until 2 days ago. So,
are you kidding? Are you kidding? You know, one of my favorite Easter traditions is to dress up like a bunny rabbit and sing "Breaking the Law." Breaking the law. So
yeah, that works.
There you go. There you go. Eat some chocolate, headbang, and you know, dance around to some Judas Priest. It's all good in my book. And hello, Rex. How's it going?
All right.
Very cool. Very cool. Great lineup of poetry tonight. Yeah, bit quirky, bit of an odd choice for Easter night, but that's okay because you know what? I enjoy Judas Priest, so I do think it's a great choice.
Well, it is a bit different.
Well, yeah, and different can definitely be good, and it definitely inspired some great poetry, that's for sure. And great choice of an intro song, Leather Rebel, very cool. Well, why don't you go ahead and tell us all about Judas Priest?
Well, I'll just do a little bit. All right. Originally formed in 1969, Birmingham, England, with Al Atkins as the lead vocalist, bassist Brian Stapenhill, John Terry on guitars, and John Partridge on drums. Perry took his life at 18, and they ran through some replacements, including one that would end up with them again, Kenneth K.K. Downer, but he was turned down for a multi-instrumentalist called Ernest Chathwaite, who had played with the Birmingham band Black Sabbath when they were actually still called Earth. Stapenhill came up with the name for Judas Priest from Bob Dylan's song, The Ballad of Frankie Lee and Judas Priest, off the John Wesley Harding album. Now, none of those original members actually made it onto the first two albums of Judas Priest because they were already gone and moved on to other projects. In fact, Atkins, who formed the band originally, kind of gave up the name as he it kind of got disbanded in the early 70s and was then taken over by the crew that most of everybody knows about, Stapenhill, Halford, and company. They were, like a lot of bands, they didn't really hit their mark until like 1980 with the album British Steel. They did a great run through the glam rock era, as they weren't the glam rock gang, but they were the leather and spike clad boys while everybody was going with the eyeliner, sparkles, and the hairband craze, so to speak. So they had their own style going out there. And that first song you just heard, there is a little hint of what Black Sabbath was all about back in the early days. And they even signed with Tony Iommi's management company. So they've had a long history with Black Sabbath. And even Black Sabbath's recording engineer produced a couple of the early bits of Judas Priest. He did the first three albums for Black Sabbath. So they've had a connection. And they're still going strong today. They've Halford quit the band a couple of times, came back, and they're actually touring again now. So talk about going back in time a bit. Looking at 72, I think, was right around where the better angle of Judas Priest with the members that most people know now was formed. And off and on, they've had a ton of people going through the through their lineup, especially with drums. But they've been around long enough and have played long enough to actually have moved themselves into the VH1 Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They've sold over 50 million albums. And like I said, they're on the tour again this year. So if they're coming to you, maybe you want to go see them. I did pick a couple of old new songs on the list we had, plus a couple of older ones from back in the day, plus a mix all through their careers. They did have a lull in the 90s, mid-90s, through like 2003. They were kind of off the radar, so to speak, but still producing music. And that's about it.
Very cool. Very cool. I was reading about them earlier, and it was really cool to find out about how the band name came from a Bob Dylan song. I was also reading that Rob Halford, before getting involved with Judas Priest, worked at a porn movie theater.
Yes. Popcorn and sticky floors.
Yep. But I actually really like his voice. One of the things I have to say that I like about Judas Priest personally is I like that they have their own songs, their own music, but then when they do remakes, like you have a remake that was originally done by, oh my gosh, I'm blanking out, but you know what I mean. Fleetwood Mac was originally done by Fleetwood Mac. And there's another song I was reading about of theirs I knew about that was a remake. And they tend to, like, make remakes their own. You know what I mean? Like, it's still the same lyrics, but they pull it off with the instruments and the voice that he has to make it all their own.
Well, you have to. You can't. It's like the Sound of Silence. You can't quantify making the same thing that Simon and Garfunkel did. You got to take the song and... you've got to reimagine it with the band that you've got. I mean, you look at the one that the copy of that was made. It was actually a really good mix. And I can't think of it at this moment.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yep. But you had to pick out a great variety of their songs. I liked it. Plus, you always give people the option that, you know, they can choose from any one of the musicians' catalog, you know. So that's always great. But very cool info there, Rex. I'm just laughing at Robbie, who says there were lots of tricky combos of words there. Laugh out loud and ew to porno theaters. I always thought watching porn was a solo or couples affair. LOL. Apparently not. Now, I've never been to one of these theaters, and I don't plan to. But apparently, for some people, it's a date night. Or they're like TV Herman and going on their own. All right.
Yep.
All right, Rex. Well, I guess whenever you're ready, we can get this ball rolling.
Let's go.
All right. Well, we're going to start it out with the song Turbo Lover. So here we go.
We'll be right back.
so.
That is an awesome song.
Yeah, kind of a bit funkier than the rest of that lineup, more or less.
Yeah, it's a bit different of a sound, that's for sure. And I was surprised with 7 minutes long. And Aaron Panther, it cracks me up. He said, you'd think a Turbo Lover would be finished in less than 7 minutes. And then Robbie says, maybe 7 minutes is solo time in the porn theater.
That's why that goes that old adage. Why do cowboys make lousy lovers? Because they think 7 seconds is a good ride.
Oh, I like that one. All right. Well, up inspired by that song, we have The Turbo Lover by Blue Leader One. And go ahead, please, Rex, and give that a read.
The Turbo Lover by Blue Leader One. Speed is life, only the slow die. From my canopy, I see you roaring to the horizon. You best know I'll beat you. No one is faster when I hit the afterburners. Speed is life. It's the quick or the dead. I know you want to race me, thinking you can beat me. You poor fool. You're too slow. You don't know. You're already dead. If speed is life, then not only am I alive, I always will be. My nick is tachyon. The speed of light doesn't apply to me. Superluminal and free, that's me. No one can catch me. No one can touch me. I race forever. Fast, faster, faster. Always faster. Eternally. And boom. Yeah. All right.
Oh, great read there, Rex. Great read. I really liked, I liked that Blue Leader One went with a different song. I thought that was cool. I mean, you know, I always like when people get inspired by the prompts in the contest, but it's also good to see that people have favorites or are, like, looking for different inspiration. The main message I got from this, which, and it had a really great flow to it, even though it wasn't a rhyming poem, I thought the use of repetition and the way he stacked his stanzas for some reason added to a nice flow. The main idea that I got from this was one who challenges death in the realization of their own power. And it's almost like, I don't know, because where it ends, I race forever, fast, faster, faster, always faster, eternally. I feel like it's somebody who, like, has that desire, that need to be involved with dangerous activities like high-speed racing, and they're constantly going fast, constantly seeking out danger to get that high energy feeling that they're truly living, and they do it until the moment that they die. And I feel like that ending line is the idea of someone dying in a high speed chase or something like that. There's a certain level of cockiness that comes out in this, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, I think it works really well for what the tone is supposed to be, at least to me, in the poem, especially, you know, with I know you want to race me, thinking you can beat me, you poor fool, you're so slow, you don't know, you're already dead. And that part, you don't know, you're already dead, makes me think of the whole idea, and I'm paraphrasing, it's a quote, but I'm slightly paraphrasing the idea that you can be alive, but not truly living. So, excellent write and very well done.
Hi, Blue dipped into a couple of things with this. I like the opening note. Speed is life, only the slow die. From my canopy, I see you roaring to the horizon. You best know I'll beat you. No one is faster when I hit the afterburners. Speed is life, it's the quick of the dead. That opening note, from my canopy, I see you roaring to the horizon. gives rise to Top Gun. I feel the need for speed. And that note of flying parallel, upside down, giving the finger to the Russian airman doing a supposedly a 10G burn. That hits with the afterburners. And then speed is life, it's the quick of the dead. Again, reference to a movie, The Quick of the Dead, where Leo DiCaprio was an up-and-coming little gunslinger until he had to go up against his father, and he found out what it is to be quick or to be dead. So then that role ends. If speed is life, then not only am I alive, I always will be. A nice touch to something that moves parallel along everything. My neck is tachyon. The speed of life doesn't apply to me. Superluminal and free. That's me giving the idea of the cosmos. And no one can catch me. No one can touch me. I like that. I race forever fast, faster, faster, always faster, eternally. That note of speed is the object. That note of that which produces. And keeps on going. I like that note. So thank you, Boo. Nice touch. And a different take on the song, too. The Turbo Lover being the idea of speed itself as opposed to the lover angle. So a great turn of phrase. And thank you very much. All right. What's up, Ned?
Well, up next, we have the song Dreamer Deceiver, and here we go.
Tree.
and a half. That was one of two songs that they played on BBC Two's The Old Grey Whistle Test in 1975, and it was then cut on the album Sad Winds of Destiny in 76. And that was
That's really cool.
And that was the album they said that they had unified their sound into from then on was seen as Judas Priest, the heavy riffing, complex arrangements.
It is. I did really like that arrangement there, and that the music of that was just powerful. I have to say, the one thing that threw me off is it just seemed like such an abrupt ending, but it worked because it was getting you all worked up, and then all of a sudden you're just forced to make this pause within your own mind, if that makes sense at all.
Two of the members said it was inspired by the factories in the Black Country.
The Black Country, is that where they did a lot of the coal mining and stuff? The coal mining?
Well, yeah, that's where probably the coal mining and other dirty stuff that most people didn't get to see in the cities. But, yeah, it was a daily part of life.
Okay, cool. Interesting. Inspired by that song, we have Plectrums We Pluck Duality's Guitar Strings by Eric Svensson, who is nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud. So here we go. Oh, I suppose I better find a person that just pushed some random button. Yeah, because we don't want that to happen. Okay, you did have a sound call, right? Yes, there we go.
Plectrums, we pluck duality's guitar strings. Gentle lullaby leads in. Soothes frayed, disarrayed nerves. Butterflies flutter after the first spring rain. Puppy breath keenness abounds. Blue dragonflies fraternize. Pubescent pink lotus flowers eulogize. Ethereal, aerial copulation, natural in Arcadia. Primordial Adam and Eve stretch out wonderment arms, attuned to one universal note. Solar plexus gut intuitively teaches, not by rote. Open heart spaces plectrum pluck life's gifts. Two guitar rifle guards calmly riff. Fleecy angel wings gather in azure sky. Atmospheric pressure drops, gradual descent into the abyss. Chirrup serenity ousted too soon. Scorching soul of seraphim voice, flaming fork tongue laments lash out, flagellates the dreamer deceiver. Four horses of the apocalypse gallop on solar winds. Guitar rifle guard steeplechase in hot pursuit. Secure the single sonic sound in the cosmos before it's too late. Doyens of duality, we dance between spring rain's gentle refrain, winter's harried hoarfrost, blazing blizzards, cold-blooded lizards, yet until we rift by the evasive single sonic sound in the cosmos, we can only stream dreams, plectrum-plucked dualities demanding DNA strings. Invite guitar god chords to strum, recalibrate our glum heart chambers before 2024 and beyond solar maximum flares. Seraphim sear our fragile, infantile, worldwide web. End poem.
Great read, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Oh, I like this. It's always such a joy to hear Eric read. He's got such a wonderful reading voice. Brilliant imagery and metaphors. Love the use of the word plectrums, because I've never really thought about it before, because I always call them guitar picks, but I didn't think about the fact that, of course, there's going to be other instruments that would use a plectrum / guitar pick, and they wouldn't all be called guitar picks. So, you know, learned something new there, and that was really cool. His wordplay is always clever. I really like how the main message I got from this was, I thought it was a wonderful write on negative energy that tries to pull the dreamer down and the connection with nature that allows the spirit to soar. But it's also that connection with music. I have to say that end part two made me think of the solar eclipse that's going to be coming up on April 8th, which I'm hoping to be able to check out. That would be really cool. But I like how he draws us in with, you know, softly, with gentle lullaby, leads in, soothes frayed, disarrayed nerves, butterflies flutter after the first spring rain, puppy breath keenness abounds, blue dragonflies fraternize. So he brings us into that moment where you're, you know, sitting back, relaxing, you know, you're watching the butterflies and the dragonflies and you know, there's this all this representation of nature within those small creatures and the water that they live in. And then he starts to pick up in intensity. You really start to feel as if so much of the words that he's putting in is that words to a heavy metal song, scorching soar of seraphim voice, flaming forked tongue laments, lash out, flagellates the dreamer deceiver, four horses of the apocalypse gallop on solar winds. It's like all of a sudden the harshness of life, the heaviness of the music just hits. You know, so, and I really like that. I really thought he handled that change of tone. It's like one of those songs that starts out soft and then picks up into the really headbanging stuff. So, excellent write and very well done.
Nice. I like that. And you're right. Gentle Lullaby leads in. That's how the song starts out, and that's how he plays off his thoughts in this piece, which works really good. He hits on quite a number of things. Ethereal, aerial copulation, natural in Arcadia, primordial, Adam and Eve stretch out wonderment arms. Nice touch there to the thought of the solar eclipse coming. Attuned to one universal note, solar plexus gut intuitively teaches, not by rote. Open heart spaces, plectrum pluck, life sketch. I think there's a board game too, I forget what it is. That one you're not supposed to play because it's supposed to invite in the possibility of evil spirits. They use that.
Oh, the Ouija board.
Yes, the, what you put your fingers on, I think it's called a plectrum too.
Oh, really?
Anyway.
Huh.
I do believe
so. Cool.
Yeah. I do like the note here because he offers up the thought to the double angle, the twin guitars. Two guitar rifle guards calmly rip, fleecy angel wings gather and add to the sky. Atmospheric pressure drops. Gradual descent into the abyss. Sheriff Serenity ousted too soon. Scorching sore of seraphim voice. Flaming fork tongue laments lash out. That kind of hits on the idea of evil's moan in the moment. Then flagellates the dream deceiver. Then the four horsemen of the apocalypse gallop on solar winds. I like that note. And then he finishes out with a guitar, rifle, drop, steeplechase, and hot pursuit. Secure the single sonic sound in the cosmos before it's too late. And I think that kind of hits on the idea of hearing that horn blast of what is supposed to come before the end, so to speak. What else we got here? We can only stream dreams, question plot dualities demanding DNA strings. That again hits the note of what beats from the ocean waves that call to us to music that also calls to us. And then the finishing out, recalibrate our glum heart chambers. That note to the solar maximum flares, which they've been putting out now as, oh, we might lose the internet and all other things that come with it. Yes, that's just a little bit more of fear porn because they don't want certain things. And so it kind of hits that idea of what we are supposed to be coming into and what we should be aware of. Somebody's pulling those strings. Nicely done, Eric.
All right. Well, the next song we're going to play is Living After Midnight.
Thank you.
Now, this came off of a 1980s British Steel. The songs were a lot shorter than what they had done before that, and they included a bit more on the note of radio books for mainstream music. And they got a lot of airplay with this song, as well as Breaking the Law and United. And kind of hit that note of where they finally broke through all over the place.
Absolutely, absolutely. Very cool. Yeah, it wasn't British Steel was like their all-time best-selling album, wasn't it?
I don't know. Possibly. I don't know for sure.
I thought
it was,
I had read that
somewhere.
It was
the market of futures where they finally hit the hit everything from 1980 through like 1995. They had a plethora of gold and platinum albums right through that note of about 15 years.
Okay. Cool. Yep. They definitely are a great representation of their of their music. So very cool. All right.
Alrighty.
The first poem we have up to go with that song is After Midnight Therapy by Al Hassan. And it goes like this. In the depths of night we arise and shake our booties right under the blinking lights. We wander around enjoying every midnight sight. Let's rock and roll till the dusk is whole. Release yourself from a busy hole. Let's move to the happy flow. Listen to the speaker's tone, then pay the morning toll. Wine and dine to the happy time. This late night sky is looking fine. Let's waste no time to break a spine. We never blow, we never sigh. Don't be shy and don't you cry. Your problems are all gonna be all right. Shake the head till it falls to the ground. Only listen to the speaker's sound. Jump in the midnight crowd. Let the earthquake hit the ground and then shout your name out loud. Guitarists play their metal guitars till their strings are all worn out. Follow the rhythm, dance with your stress out loud, and stretch your hands out high like you can touch the sky so high. End poem.
Great read, man. Thank you. I like this note, After Midnight Therapy. It does hit on the idea of hitting that note to music and unwinding to the point where you end up paying the toll the next morning, but yes, you do get to let it all hang out and not have to worry about that which might weigh you down during the day. So you just take that weekend note, go out Friday, Saturday, get on the floor or in the bar for the music, or get on the floor where you go into a concert and just dance to what's going on. And there is a nice note to therapy in that angle, because it brings a ton of people together all in the moment, and everybody is enjoying themselves. They're happy. They're free in the moment, and I think that's exactly what Al Hassan has done with this. It is a great way for therapy to blow off that steam. Get the anger out and have some happy times. So nicely done, Al Hassan. Thank you. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Yeah, I really liked this one. I liked the energy and the vibe to it. How the title, After Midnight Therapy, it's that whole idea, you know, because he has like some great references to life that is filled with nothing but a work day that weighs you down, like no time, let's waste no time to break a spine, release yourself from a busy hole, that idea of just feeling trapped by your work day, but knowing that afterwards, when nighttime comes, when it's after midnight and the hard and heavy music is playing, and you're dancing and you're banging your head, you're listening to that music and you're you know, picking up on the energy and vibe of the crowd. You're letting that whole day just wash away. And I really like the vivid picture that he paints with this on life and music after midnight, and really some great lines all the way through. But I did especially like the second and closing stanza, and especially the second stanza. Let's rock and roll till the dusk is whole. Release yourself from a busy hole. Let's move it to the happy flow. Listen to the speaker's tone. Then pay the morning toll. And it's like, yeah, you're going to pay the price in the morning. You might not be feeling the best in the morning, but you know what? It's going to be worth it because, as you were mentioning, Rex, you can release that anger, release that energy, you know? And it's all in that moment, in that after midnight moment, it's all good.
And he's got a little Bob Marley note in that too. Everything's going to be all right.
Yes, yes, and touching the sky at the end made me think of Jimi Hendrix.
Yep.
So, very cool references there.
All right, so what's next?
All right, well, I'm going to grab the next one, which, of course, will be for you to read and is inspired by the same song. And it is After Midnight by Lawrence 67.
After Midnight by Lawrence 67. Two cats named Nigel and Alfie, inspired by the song Living After Midnight. Nigel and Alfie, forget the city, forget the dawn. These two felines party till the kibble's gone. It's after midnight, the witching hour. Nigel and Alfie with superpowers. Nigel the horse, Alfie calls him boss. They leave a trail of chaos, completely destroyed, tipping over trash cans, chasing invisible toys. Three midnight marauders, heed no calls, living after midnight. That's their game, raising ruckus and leaving fur in their wake. The witching hour has witches. These two will make them their bitches. So watch out for Nigel, watch out for Alfie. These furry whirlwinds will leave you in stitches. And poem. All right, Pam.
Oh, that was great. That was great. Great read there, Rex. I tell you, he just really, I mean, and I have no doubt that this is definitely about his cats. Well, first of all, because he names them by name. There's no protecting the innocent or the guilty in this case. But it's pretty much any cat. I mean, they just love to run around at night. He's really captured their personality. And I like that picture attached to it. Look at all that lunch flying around up there, that look that cats get when they look like they see a ghost. Or in this case, it's probably looking at birds. But great humor, fun lines. He definitely, no doubt, captured the troublemaking personality of Nigel and Alfie. And great lines all the way through, but I especially like where he says, these two felines party till the kibble's gone. And then Nigel the hoss, Alfie calls him boss. I like the reference to hoss from, what's that old TV show? You know what I'm talking about. Yes, yes. With the big guy, the biggest son of them all being Hoss. And Yes. That was it. And I like the phrase, I like the alliteration he puts in here, like midnight marauders, raising ruckus. I just got a big kick out of this. So, very well done.
Nice. We've done a lot of Nigel and Alfie, but this kind of rolls up the idea of the backstory, so to speak. Kind of give a little credence to the critters. Hey, this one's Nigel, and Alfie calls him Hoss. I mean, Nigel is the hoss, while Alfie calls him the boss. I got a reference there Nigel might be the larger of the two to begin with. Tipping over trash cans, chasing invisible toys, Midnight Marauders Need No Calls, and Max Night Run. The Witching Owl has witches. These two will make them their bitches. And then in a little, so watch out for Nigel, watch out for Alfie. These furry whirlwinds will leave you in stitches. Direct reference to the antics he displays in with Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie, Alfie. Thank you,
Absolutely.
Lawrence. All right.
Well, up next, we're going to have the song Love Bites. And let me go ahead. And here we go.
Yeah.
John, there was a movie out in 1993 called Love Bites with Adam Ant in the lead role. But this song had me thinking of Mel Brooks' a comedy, Dracula, Dead and Loving It with Leslie Nielsen.
It does have that vibe to it, doesn't it? Yeah, I vaguely remember that movie, Love Bites, but I also remember that Dracula, Dead and Loving It. That was funny. So, very cool. And you ever, speaking of Rob Halford, you ever listen to him do that duet with the singer from In This Moment where they sing the song Black Wedding?
No.
You got to take a listen to that. It's really good. Both their voices work great together. And it's basically a takeoff of like it's a like the song White Wedding by Billy Idol, but obviously done since they're both heavy metal singers in a more heavy metal and darker way. And it's a good day for a white wedding. It's a good day for a black wedding. And yeah, really good video and really good song. I highly recommend it.
All right, what do we got for this one?
All right, well, to go with this one, we have Loaded Like a Gun by Naomi Sarah, who was nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud. So here we go.
Loaded like a gun. Love is a famished, hellish beast, waiting to rip me apart and feast. Squeezing my neck, choke so tight, following me around day and night, pressuring me to growl and roar, to run wild, wanting more. I don't know no more what is true. I'm begging you all to tell me what to do to chase away this love demon. I'll listen to a thousand sermons to rid me of all that this devil steals every time a handsome angel breathes. I'll pray Satan, God, and his holy son, because my heart is loaded like a gun. I don't know no more what is true. I'm begging you all, tell me what to do.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. All right, Pam.
I really like this one. And even before I listened to the recording, because I never listen to the recordings ahead of time. I just usually do on the show. And, you know, even before I heard it right now, the way she has it placed with, like, no spacing between the line, it read like there was supposed to be this kind of, like, frantic tone to it, this fast-paced, frantic tone. And that is especially came across in her read in about the middle of the poem. There's great rhyme and flow, edgy, hard-hitting lines, an amazing write that spoke to me on the pain and confusion caused by love, and brilliant lines all the way through. But I do like the ending with, I don't know no more what is true. I'm begging you all, tell me what to do. And the insanity that comes across, this idea of this person who's completely lost their mind, they're praying to anybody who'll listen, Satan, I'll pray Satan, God, and his holy son, because my heart is loaded like a gun. And there's just that desperation that she brings out in the voice of the character. I also like the lines, pressing me to growl and roar, to run wild, wanting more. Great lines. I mean, to me, this really reads like the lyrics to a heavy metal song. Like, I can just imagine the guitar riffs going along with this. An amazing write and very well done.
Thanks. Well, I'm going to go a little different. I think she listened to this song and then went and watched that movie, Dracula, Dead and Loving It, because this kind of hits on the same notes. Love is a famished, hellish beast waiting for me to rip apart and feast. Yes, next. And
pressing me to growl and roar, to run wild wanting more. Again, blood. Next. And then that note to the love demon. That does hit on the idea of Dracula coming in the night, the love demon. And this devil steals every time. Again, that note to what is taken in the evenings. And I'll praise Satan, God, and his Holy Son, because my heart is loaded like a gun. Again, that note to blood, my heart loaded like a gun, ready to explode. And then that, I don't know no more what is true. I'm begging you all to tell me what to do. Is that idea of being singularly noted in that role, and I got to have it. I'm at my wit's end. I don't want, yes, but I do want. So there's a conflict with that note. So nicely done, Naomi. I like that.
Very cool. Very cool observation there, Rex. Like that. Yeah. And the next song we have up is All Guns Blazing. So here we go.
Twisting the strangle, the river won't give no mercy. Beating the most tender is tied up in me.
Oh,
Black Rick.
It totally did. That was awesome. It really rocked. I always wait with bated breath to see if you're going to throw in some fun fact about the song or to hear what you're going to say.
Well, the piece we got come with it, Jenny wrote to 1, 3, 5, 6, 8, 9, and 11. And because of the title that she put up, I chose this song.
Which was part of her
seven dip into repertoire.
Yeah, I like it. Well, you're always good about connecting songs and music, so very cool. Very cool. Well, speaking of Jenny's poem, it is the malicious maniacal stepdaughter by Jenny the Deep. And go ahead, please, Rex, and give that a read.
The Malicious Maniacal Stepdaughter by Jenny the Deep. Blood and dust covered the family's apartment after his daughter found his secret gun compartment. Never took responsibility, never was respectful. She got kicked out for being maliciously disrespectful. Half asleep, she told stepmother to shut up as mom tried to wake younger sister up. Not remembering what was said, she fussed, claiming the stepmom lied. She abruptly cussed. Not having that, the mom timidly reacts, proving again the stepchild speaks no facts. The girl then yells profanities at her dad, so she was told to go if continued to be bad. Uninvited, later that night, the older teen arrives with a cold-blooded diabolical plan to end their lives. Manipulatively, time and time again, this 18-year-old has lied. No remorse. With an AK-47, she chooses stepmom's life. Slowly, she pries open front door. On the couch, she sees bonus mom doing chores. Sneaking behind with her dad's forbidden gun. Pulling the trigger, she punctures her stepmom's lung. Little sister and dad were safe at grandpa's parlor. Unbeknownst to them, bleeding out his mama. Instead of coming back home to a quiet bed, they come home dismayed to mom's severed head and home. All right, Jen, something a little darker and a little deeper.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, she really dug into the darkness and the deepness. And great read there, Rex. I like how it's a story, right? And thankfully, it's not, the thing is a story like this, you know it's somebody's true story. I remember like when me and Victoria were doing the dark show where we do serial killers once a month, and we did a show on Family Aside, where people kill family members. And that's what this made me think of. Really great attention to detail. Strong, visceral imagery. I like how she takes like every parent's nightmare, which is basically, you know, a child that doesn't listen, but takes it to the next level. That horrifying moment of, you know, the rage let out in this act of violence and killing. And she brings it, of course, out of modern times with the mention of the AK-47. But this is something that has been happening throughout the centuries. I like that she added the psychological horror at the end with little sister and dad were safe at grandpa's, unbeknownst to them, bleeding out as mama instead of coming back home to a quiet bed. They come home dismayed to mom's severed head. So the they're not there yet, but you as the reader are given a look into the future of what they're going to feel and what they're going to see, what they're going to feel. And you feel that psychological horror and, you know, just a great dark tale told and very well done.
Yes. It was definitely a twisted, the darkness you drew out of it, just from dipping into seven songs and picking out little word phrases and such to play off her thoughts of what's going on. To as in a familiar sign, yes. And the act, I mean, this is deliberate, and it does hit on that idea of there are some who, despite everything, you think might be all right, but and it goes that angle of nature and nurture, but some are just born with no no mental capacity to do anything except that which they want in the moment, and that's what is drawn. So nicely done, Jen. Thank you. Yes.
All right. And the next song we have is A Touch of Evil. And here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. Well, the first poem we have up inspired by that is Under the Devil's Moon by Errant Panther, who was nice enough to make a SoundCloud for us. So here we go.
Under the Devil's Moon by Errant Panther. Driven to the edges where desire meets obscurity, that's where a heart divides with no chance to recalibrate from waves of deception and lies. You close the gates on faith and all the love held within, turning blind eyes to everything that once held you obsessed. Now you're like a zombie, lusting for flesh. Dreams of insanity weaving inside, restless and seething for a passion repressed. Taunting and teasing each whisper of thought, until the weight of these chains finds a new soul to crack. Under this torchlight, the moon seems so defiantly cold, unwilling to change the lives that it stole. We've come full circle, but the damage is done. When you're messing with evil, the cost is exponentially greater than just one. End poem.
Great read, Aaron. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. All right, Pam.
I like this one. I think it's a great take on the chosen prompt. As always, he's got brilliant imagery and metaphors, very intelligent and philosophical. I like how he reminds us within his right that develops of the darkness that develops within when you shut out all goodness and light. And when you choose that path of evil, you don't just take yourself down with it, like he says in those end lines. We've come full circle, but the damage is done. When you're messing with evil, the cost is exponentially greater than one. And you know, especially any kind of evil that affects a family, I think I think this can go a wide variety of ways of what, you know, you could consider evil. You know, it could be an addiction. It could be, you know, murder. It could be any kind of violence. But once you start going down that path, you take others with you. I also really like the viscerality of the imagery where he says that turning blind eyes to everything that once held you obsessed, now you're like a zombie lusting for flesh. That idea, those things that like, the things we keep looking past and ignoring until they become greater and greater evils. Also, dreams of insanity weaving inside, restless and seething for a passion repressed, taunting and teasing each whisper of thought. Like, you can really just feel the whole idea of this person's life, this person's mind falling apart as they come to the realization that they've dragged others into hell with them, either a, you know, literal hell or I like to think of it more as a figurative hell. So amazing write and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. All right. Yeah, he does speak on the devil, but he's doing it into the note of what leaks in, that initial inception, so to speak, driven to edges where desire meets obscurity. That's where a heart divides with no chance to recalibrate from waves of deception lies. That's the note, the beginning, that first step. And then you close the gates on faith and all love held within. Again, something, once you take that first step, you have to do one other thing. You got to close that door on the back end of things. And then you become that, you're that zombie lusting for flesh, I like that. And dreams of insanity weaving inside, restless seething for passion repressed. Now everything is once you've dipped into that sinful tone, all of a sudden, what might have been repressed because you knew the better angle of right from wrong, now it's fully emerged into its raging state, so to speak. And I do like that last stanza, under this torchlight. Nobody uses torchlight, and that's the perfect word right there. The moon seems so defiantly cold, unwilling to change the lives that it stole. We've come full circle, but the damage is done. When you're messing with evil, the cost is exponentially greater than just one. Yes, and that does roll back to the angle of those that walk within your sphere, so to speak, whether it's family or whether it's just the people you engage with whilst you're delving deep into that which now has full control. So, great piece there, Eric, and thank you. All right. What's next?
All right. And the next poem inspired by that song will be mine. And as Aaron said, him and I took the same song in totally different directions practically, but evil is still involved. So there you go. And this is Cold Stoked in the Fornication of Our Minds. I will stoke the coals and cause your flame to rise. You know that I'm an evil enchantress because I never wear a disguise. I'm true to what I am. I dance in sheer black cloth, swirling and writhing beneath the moonlight. Goblins and fae and creatures of the night join in the fornication of our minds. You want a taste of the darkness that I offer. Bring to me your wicked desires. Call out my name, each syllable a sound of love and pain. We will drip crimson. I will paint your lost soul the color of lust. Watch me. My hypnotic movements are a knife-edge seduction. Our daemons dance together and whisper in a language all their own. Crawl to the altar you have built in devotion to me. Rest yourself upon the bed of thorns and raw meat. I will ride your ceremony without mercy, erotic energy that bruises flesh and bone. Our endless tide of nefarious moans is the vespers we offer to the divine Ahriman. Darkness in and around us. I will clench your lightning as your seed releases into the well of my nightmares. An inhale of breath and the dancing of flames begins again. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. Well, it does paint that nasty, ugly picture, doesn't it? I was thinking of, because of the way you rolled into it, I was thinking of Lilith, that first temptress, the first evil out of the garden. But you roll into Ahriman, that's the ancient god of chaos, or what, Iranian, Zoroastrianism, and the Lord of Darkness. Chaos.
Yep.
The god of confusion. Disappointment. Yes. Yes, that still kind of walks that note of, because you wrote this as a female figure, it does kind of hit that note of Lilith being the ultimate one to make the downfall of all who come her way. So I do like that. I will quench your lightning as your sea releases into the well of my nightmares. An inhale of breath and the dancing of flames begins again. Ew. Yes, come on, dip in. We can have a bit of fun. And then you're going to burn the hell because you ain't getting out.
Exactly. Thank you, Rex, and thank you for the inspiration. And the next song we have.
I think Aaron liked that one. I got this wrong, Pam.
Yep. I like that. Too funny. Very cool. And the next song we have is In Between. And here we go.
Revenge, I forgive, but not live. I'm not afraid, but
Well, for that one, we have Proverbial Conflict by Robert M., who was nice enough to supply us with a recording. So here we go.
This is my recital of Proverbial Conflict. There is a proverb about two wolves that live inside of us, but all I have are two fools. One of them sees the best in all and cheers humanity on. The other waits for mankind's fall in the ash of nuclear dawn. One of them wants to believe in the good that we can do. The other just tends to grieve, knowing too well what is true. Part of me does yearn to know what happiness truly is. The other simply nods no, embracing that sorrow of his. Part of me does desire to know of what's in store. The other is just filled with ire and is stuck in the fog of war. My lighter half wants for peace to be in abundance with hope. My darker side wants pain to cease just so that he can cope. Both have left my mind carved in the wake of insanity's rule. One of the two remains starved while the other remains a fool.
Great read, Robert. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. All right, Pam.
Oh, man, this is a great rhyming poem, and it really does go very well with that song. The emotional darkness in this is powerful. I like how he writes on the proverb of the two wolves, and that whichever one you feed is the one that survives. Great lines all the way through. And I think it speaks to many people who want to experience happiness and want to experience joy, but struggle with depression and struggle, I think, also with the idea that if you experience true happiness, then when it's taken away, you go into even deeper despair. I really like one of them sees the best in all and cheers humanity on. The other waits for mankind's fall in the ashes of nuclear dawn. And then part of me does yearn to know what happiness truly is. The other simply nods no, embracing that sorrow of his. That idea of feeling like you're walking a certain path that you cannot stray to. If darkness is the destiny you're meant to embrace, then that is where you shall always be. I really like how he captures that inner conflict. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice. Yeah, I did the Tale of Two Wolves. I like that. And the angle is chosen for this. There is that note of defiance as well as depression, but it also hits on that note of being stuck in the fog of war. But the last two stanzas walk on the very same notes because they touch on the same angle for both the wolves themselves. My lighter half wants for peace to be in abundance with hope. My darker side wants pain to cease just so that he can cope. It's the idea of the battle within. Both have left my mind carved in the wake of insanity's rule. One of two remains starved while the other remains a fool. So it is opening up the angle of both ends. Because of that second last stanza, they're both looking for the same thing, peace, and for the pain to cease. So that walks that angle of the heaviness that weighs on the mind. Yes. When he finishes out, one of the two remains starved while the other remains a fool. Hits on both the same angle of what he offers up as the two are the fools, where he hits it at first, but all I have is two fools because they can't come to a complete resolution to actually put the demons to rest and usher in that semblance of peace to the mind. All right.
Well, we don't have a lot of time left, so I'm not going to play the last three songs. Instead, I'm going to go straight to the poems. And the next poem we have is Indian Outlaw by Papa Terminus. And go ahead, please, Rex, and give that a read.
Indian Outlaw by Papa Terminus. Ripping down the highway, black rubber grips the pavement. Rumbling thunder breaks the silence. Hot black asphalt, screeching tires. The Indian Outlaw vibrates between his legs. The blazing sunshine bakes the road. Black metal running with the wolf pack. A sense of freedom, anarchy, twin wheel blaze of glory. Ghost Rider with his head blazing flame. Shadows grow as the black hole sun sets. Straight out of hell, whipping that horse like a devil's reject spat in the eye of God. And poem. All right. Where do you want to go with that one?
All right. This is very cool. Amazing imagery. I like how he's taking us down the highway, riding the bike, all the freedom felt, you know, especially a sense of freedom, anarchy, twin wheel, blaze of glory, Ghost Rider with his head blazing flame, shadows grow as the black hole sun sets. Brilliant imagery and really just an amazing tribute to Judas Priest. I really enjoyed this and very well done.
Yes, he does hit on that song, Heading Down the Highway, but there's a whole lot more that's born into this. Indian motorcycles way back in the day were even better than the Hollies back in the day. They were the ones that everybody watches, and they kind of fell off the face of the earth after World War II because both went with government issue when the war broke out. But while Harley did well, Indian kind of fell out of favor and off the radar. So you've got that angle joining us. And you've also got the running with the wolf pack, that idea of, because he does a sense of freedom, anarchy, that hits me with the idea the Sons of Anarchy, the TV show. And then you've got Ghost Rider with Nicolas Cage, just a little band in here. Black Hole Sun from Soundgarden. And then again, finishing out straight out hell, whipping that horse. Again, Ghost Rider 2, where you've got the horse coming in with the bike. And like a devil's reject spat in the eye of God. There was a movie called Devil's Rejects, which was a horrific piece of a movie back in the day as well. So it hits on quite a bit from the angle of not just the song, but other media imperatives drawn up through. So nicely done, Papa. I like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very cool. Yeah, I loved all his references to, you know, modern times and past times, music and movies. And the reference to Ghost Rider was particularly cool. So I liked that. All right. And let's see what we have next. Up next, we have If You Think I've Gone Mad by Spring Sky 39. I've my mind that helps me reach out. If you can't hear me, I will shout. Big brother will not keep me down. This life is a fantasy I found. If you think I've gone mad, you may be right on track. But do not think that is bad. But I've been rewarded, in fact. If you wonder if I'm dangerous today, know you've missed the mark. I have crazy friends that say I'm okay, but one at home in the dark. If you think I've gone mad, you may be right on track, but do not think that is bad, but I've been rewarded, in fact. You've got another thing coming if you think I'll be one that's tame. My danger, a weapon that's stunning. That is the imagination in my brain. If you think I've gone mad, you may be right on track, but do not think that is bad, but I've been rewarded, in fact. and poem.
Nice. I like that refrain, the marker, if you think I've gone mad, you may be right on track, but do not think that that is bad, but I've been rewarded. In fact, this is good. Hits on Big Brother will not keep me down. This life is a fantasy I've found. I like that. And then that note, you've got another thing coming, which was a note to the song itself. If you think I'll be that one that's tame, my danger weapon that's stunning, that is the imagination in my brain. That note of I will not be pressed under the boot of authoritarianism that does not allow me to speak or think for myself. So that is the angle of if you think I've gone mad, you may be right on track, but do not think that is bad, but I've been rewarded. In fact, there's a double note, rewarded in fact being factual notes to what is really going on, as well as being rewarded for the fact that they're actually thinking outside the box themselves instead of being waylaid into what they want, Big Brother wants to them to believe. So I do like that note. Rackney, and what about you?
Absolutely. Great comment, Rex. Yeah, great rhyme, hard-hitting line. I like how he writes about discovering the facts, you know, basically like learning to think for yourself, getting your mind out of the dark, realizing that that true light comes when you start to think for yourself, and true knowledge comes when you start to think for yourself. I did like that repeat stanza, which I thought added a nice lyrical quality to the poem. And I also like, if you wonder if I'm dangerous today, know you've missed the mark. I have crazy friends that say I'm okay, but one at home in the dark. Those are wonderful lines. I like the first two lines, especially speaking on the thought that, you know, I'm not the one you should be afraid of. I'm not the dangerous one. It's those people that keep on passing along the lies. So excellent write and very well done.
Yeah. All right. Where are we at now?
Up next, we have Whispers, Oh Whispers, The War Within by Blue Right 76. And go ahead, please, and give that a read.
All right. Whispers, Oh Whispers, The War Within by Blue Right 76. Whisper, Oh Whispers, soft scorn, gushes of guffles from dark water still, untread attics and creaky wounds, heard them all. Whisper, O whispers, death sneer, rushes of daring that came breath cold, undone guilt and unfed senses, teased of all. Whisper, O whispers, slowly found skin, gall of the shadows from piles of words unsaid, hearts of earth hidden, came the call, a push to provoke. Whisper, O whispers, to wield the deceit, the bell of doom that touches the despair, unset slowly, unmade, now on Goliath cliffs by voracious seas. Whisper, O whispers, unheard breathed, onto doubting lashes, slowly open to the rays, little pockets of inertia, crumbs of goodness, slowly encounter play. Whisper, O whispers, louder now within, a chase to safe shores, the boat landed then. The night's mermaids and darkness ebbed away. Tides found peace. And poem. All right, Pina. And that was to The Serpent and the King.
It fit really well. I like the mythological feel of this. And the repetition of whispers, oh whispers, those mystical and magical voices that speak within the head, that try to make sense of everything. Amazing imagery and metaphors. I especially like whispers, oh whispers, to wield the deceit, the bell of doom that touches the despair, unsaid slowly, unmade, now on Goliath cliffs by voracious seas. I like how she puts in this imagery that speaks on the idea of the darkness in life, but also takes us on a journey on a ship that is traveling to unknown lands, as if the whisper itself is not only the whisper of the ghosts, but it's the whisper of the wind. And so excellent write and very well done.
Nice. You're right. The opening few stanzas walk on that note of what you let in. It's all the idea of untread attics and creaky wounds, heard them all, the death sneer, rushes of bearings, then came breaths cold, and whisper of whispers slowly found skin, gold of the shadows from piles of words I said. To wield the deceit, the bell of doom, I like that. Now, the last two kind of walk that note of coming to bear, coming out of the darkness. Slowly opens the rays, little pockets of inertia, crumbs of goodness, slowly in counterplay. That which it doesn't walk its note quickly overnight. It you got to have a bit of patience with it. Whisper or whispers louder now within. I chased the safe shores, the boat landed then. The night's mermaids and darkness ebbed away. Tides found peace. So the darkness of the mind, how all those thoughts can waylay one if you let them. But as the light comes to bear, the darkness is superseded, and you can walk in clear waters once more. I like that. Nicely done there. Blue light.
Absolutely.
All right, we're at the back end of things.
Yep.
Yes, great show. And Aaron and Robbie, I see Papa T on the board there. Thank you all. And next week, we're going to do Kenny Wayne Shepherd. But I want to be a little bit of fun, too. And at that note, have a great night, everyone. And we'll see you Tuesday morning for After Midnight. And with that, I said good evening, everyone. And thank